welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Wednesday, April 19th, 2023. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me. And a quick reminder, today will be audio only because of a bunch of, well, meetings that I had. But tomorrow should resume video with some guests and interesting interviews as well. Got a lot to cover today, as usual. Got a clarification on one story and also, a preparedness tip for you. Don't forget to carry little tiny vials of super glue around. You know, like add it to your everyday carry. Why? Well, it can come in very handy putting together wounds. It turns out one of my dogs got injured a few days back. They were playing hard, and I think she got, I don't know if she hit a rock or a stick or something. My dogs play pretty hard, and one of them got opened up. A little bit, some skin, like a laceration on the skin, like pretty good size. And I've heard of some people who have dogs that hunt hogs, by the way, which is a thing. That's a thing in Texas and Oklahoma. The people who have dogs and they hunt hogs with them. And they carry around things like skin staplers. This is not a bad idea, actually, to have some spare skin staplers. I just don't think I can get a dog to hold still long enough to staple their skin together if I had to. Super glue, especially kind of like a super glue gel, would be very effective at that. And it turns out that a company makes a super glue for dogs, which is basically just super glue labeled for dogs. It's just super glue. But if you want the official stuff from 3M, there's something out there called 3M Vet Bond Tissue Adhesive. Yeah, and it's really, really expensive. Or you could just buy super glue because it's just super glue. But anyway, get yourself some small vials of super glue. I had to take my dog to the vet. And of course, we had to, make her unconscious with the, the vet administered the anesthetic and she goes unconscious. And then the vet was cool to allow me in the surgical room. So I'm there helping out, actually. And she's like snipping the edges of the wound to make it clean. In order to start stitching it up. Actually, one of the other vets came along first with a needle with the local anesthetic, and this vet said, "Hey, can you hit this? Hit around the wound here, make sure it's perfectly numb." And the guy just goes, "Plop, squeeze, plop, squeeze, plop, squeeze," like plopping the needle into the skin all around this wound and squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. He's like, "Okay, done," and he walks off. It was funny. And then the vet that I'm working with, she's like, "Snippity snip, let's make these clean." And then she stitches it all together. And I'm thinking, man, I could have just had super glue. At least, in an emergency, suppose you don't have access to a vet. I'm not saying avoid the vet, obviously, but maybe super glue could help you until you get to a vet, potentially. Or if you don't have access to a vet, or I don't know, you're in a Mad Max scenario. You live in San Francisco and the city just collapsed. The grid is down. The police are gone. And, you got a wound and you're bleeding a little bit. Like, I don't know. Could super glue be handy? Yeah, sure. It could be. Just be wise about it. That's all I'm saying. Have backup supplies, and super glue should be one of them. That's a brand name. But there's a lot of, quote, super glue that's not branded super glue. And the stuff works on shoes as well. I've found out you can glue a lot of shoe parts back together again. Because you know me, I'm crazy. I wear shoes until they're just like flip-flops. I mean, I wear shoes. I wear shoes out, and I refuse to switch to a new pair. Because I'm just tired of the fact that shoes don't last anymore. And I think I finally found a brand that holds up. But I have to glue a few parts here and there. I don't know what it is, but, I'm active. I walk around a lot. I deal with animals. I'm on the ranch. I'm in rough terrain. The shoes just take a beating. And there's something called shoe glue that actually works pretty well. And it's super glue for shoes. Same thing as super glue for dogs. All right. With that said, let me clarify something. In yesterday's podcast, I was talking about the California law that requires electric companies there to offer flat rate billing. So it's very confusing. It turns out there is flat rate billing for part of the electric service, but it turns out it's not the entire thing. I went through and I read the press release from the SDG&E company. You can find this at the website called sdgenews.com. And it says SDG&E submits rate reform proposal designed to stabilize and lower energy bills. Now, it says in that press release, let me read it for you verbatim. Under the SDG&E plan, customers would pay a fixed price that covers most of the utility's energy delivery service that would not change month to month, regardless of how much electricity is consumed. Okay? That I'm quoting from their press release. So I don't want anybody out there saying that I made this up. I didn't make it up. It's right out of the press release. It says right there that most of the energy delivery, the price will not change regardless of how much electricity is consumed. But then it goes on to say that some portion of the customer's bill might vary if they use clean energy, such as natural gas, wind, and solar. So apparently, from what I'm getting from this, which is even crazier than the original story, this is bonkers. But what it seems to be saying, unless these people are just so confusing on purpose, what it seems to be saying is that if you use natural gas, wind, or solar for your electricity, that, yeah, you can be charged additional rates for additional kilowatt hours. But if you just use dirty coal, it's all free. There's no additional charge, no matter how much electricity you use. You got that? So how is this not an incentive to use dirty electricity? I mean, the way I'm understanding this, they're saying clean energy will cost you, dirty energy is free, or flat rate per month, but essentially incrementally free. For every additional kilowatt hour you use, you pay zero. That's what it seems to be saying. And then I went to the California bill. I tried to read that, and I'm like, oh my God, these people are not even human. They're not even writing in English. What is this? I couldn't make any sense of it. The assembly bill, I tried to read it, and it's like, it's just a bunch of virtue signaling crap. And then, like, we have to make everything affordable, blah, blah, blah. And they have all these acronyms, and they have all these groups that are probably like slush funds for the Democrat Party. It's all in the bill. I couldn't make any sense of it. But if you can, I welcome your comments. But from what I can tell so far, this looks like the dumbest electricity utility bill scheme ever invented. It's like, let's charge people for clean energy, make it free if it's dirty. And for the most part, no matter how much they use, they don't pay any extra. So there you go. There you go. I didn't make it up. It's all right there in the press release. Now, moving on to other critical news. This is a big deal here. This is out of defensenews.com. China reveals new details of Raytheon and Lockheed sanctions. So this is, the story is out of Taipei, Taiwan. China revealed new details of sanctions it previously announced against two U.S. weapons manufacturers, including a ban on Chinese companies doing business with them. Now, this is critical. You'll understand why here in a second. This means war with China is coming. China's gearing up for World War III. So this is kind of like, you know how the U.S. cut off Russia from the SWIFT system to try to cripple Russia's ability to engage in, well, just the economic transactions of building weapons and acquiring raw materials and so on. Well, China's doing that to the U.S. now. And the story talks about how in February, China originally imposed these sanctions against Lockheed Martin and Raytheon for, quote, supplying weapons to Taiwan. Taiwan is, of course, its own island nation, but it's claimed by China. China's Ministry of Commerce said in a statement that the sanctions include a ban on exports and imports by the two companies from and to China to, quote, prevent Chinese products from being used in their military business, adding that Chinese companies would strengthen due diligence and compliance systems construction to verify transactions and would not knowingly conduct business with the two companies. So even though this isn't mentioned in this story specifically, it is covered elsewhere across alt media that China's sanctions against these two companies will result in a ban of China's exports of rare earth minerals that are used in the supply chain of U.S. weapons manufacturing. Now, you've heard, of course, about rare earth minerals, you know, these exotic elements that are used in all kinds of systems, like iridium, for example. And China actually, I don't know what the percentage is now, but at one time, China controlled about 80% of rare earth metals. The exports out of China were dominant. Under Trump really had the U.S. taking active steps to try to diversify that and build more of a domestic supply. And I think that Trump was on track to get America to produce about half. These are rough numbers. I'm just going off memory. But about half of the rare earth metals that it needed. But then, of course, when the Biden regime stole the election and occupied the White House as the proxy puppet, then, of course, they reversed all that because they want China to have all the power in the world while America is destroyed. So now we're probably back on track to getting close to the 80% Chinese dominance on this. Now, yes, there's some amount of rare earths that come out of Africa, some out of South America, some out of Southeast Asia, some out of Russia even. Some, not a whole lot. But most of the supply is China. And so this is China taking action to further cripple America's ability to manufacture weapon systems, knowing that China is going to be in a war with the United States, or maybe to flip it around, that the U.S. is going to try to provoke a war with China. Because, you know, I interviewed Brian Berletic yesterday, and Brian had some very interesting things to say about this matter. And I think he's correct when he says that the U.S. is working to provoke China in the same way that the U.S. is trying to provoke Russia. It's like the U.S. just wants this massive global war, almost some kind of a suicide mission, you know? And so the U.S. is using Ukraine to provoke war with Russia, but the U.S. is also seemingly trying to provoke Taiwan into a war with China. And this is why I feel very sorry for the people of Taiwan right now and the people of Ukraine, because they're all being exploited by the corrupt, genocidal U.S. State Department to try to create World War III. Well, China is onto this, and China is saying, well, we're just not going to export the rare earths, so you're not going to be able to manufacture a lot of weapon systems like guided missiles, you know, and the U.S. hypersonic missile system is done. It's been canceled, by the way. We covered that weeks ago. Canceled. That was a, wasn't that a Lockheed Martin program? Yeah, it's done. No more funding because it kept failing. You know, because these weapons manufacturers, they keep hiring woke people instead of actual engineers that can do math. And so the missiles don't work. No surprise there. But the U.S. is also running out of munitions. How many artillery shells have they sent to Ukraine? Well, if you look at 155 millimeter, it's something like, what, 1.2 million rounds or some very, very close to that, some huge number that the U.S. has sent to Ukraine. And it turns out that's most of what we had. And so they're shipping over 105 millimeter shells and whatever else they can scrounge up. But the 155s are almost out, and there's just not enough manufacturing capacity, nor for the anti-tank weapons, nor the ground-to-air weapons or anything. The U.S. can't manufacture enough munitions. So what China has actually done here is strategically quite brilliant. I should say China and Russia together. They have, by Russia attacking Ukraine, knowing America would ship a bunch of munitions that way, Russia has forced America into depleting its munitions supply, while China is cutting off America's access to the rare earths that are necessary to manufacture replacement weapon systems. So between Russia and China, the United States military has been rendered, out of commission, essentially, or very close to that. I'm not saying that men can't fight. I'm just saying men can't fight if they have no munitions. You got to have weapons. You got to have ammo. You got to have systems. You can't just pick up a rifle. This isn't World War I. You got to have advanced weapons systems. You got to have advanced avionics. You have to have, you know, optical targeting systems and computer systems, and even in tanks. You know, tanks are high-tech devices these days, and you need a lot of rare earth minerals to make those tanks run. And China just said, you're not getting any. So I think this is a much bigger story than what's actually being covered in the media, by the way. This is a huge story, and that's why I'm giving you this analysis right here. This is, in my mind, it's a strong indicator that the war between China and the United States is strongly anticipated by China. knowing that the U.S. is currently run by a bunch of warmongering lunatics who, you know, State Department and the Biden regime and so on. They just want to have war, 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 so that they can, you know, issue an emergency and have domestic control and suspend elections, whatever all crazy things they want to do. Now, another big story that's been breaking over the last couple of days involves the globalists now targeting rice farming they want to blame rice for global warming now. I mean, unbelievable. You know, for a long time, they blame plants for global warming, right? Because they say carbon dioxide is bad, and if plants need CO2, well, then plants are the problem. You know, this greening of the planet, so-called greening, it's the opposite. They want no green. They want no plants, no forests, no grasses, and now no crops. And proving this, the AFP news agency put out a tweet that's been circulating quite a lot, says that, according to this video, quote, rice is to blame for around 10% of global emissions of methane. They say a gas that over two decades traps about 80 times as much heat as carbon dioxide. So, oh my God, it's worse than carbon dioxide. It's rice. Scientists say that if the world wants to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, rice cannot be ignored. So, if you thought that they weren't coming after the food supply, think again, folks. Now they're coming after rice. Now, do I need to mention that more than half the world's population eats rice? Yeah, I mean, China and India, just number one and number two right there in terms of populations, and they both eat a ton of rice. Even if it's not the U.S. and the Western countries, all kinds of rice is consumed, you know, in Asia, including India. So the war on rice is a war on more than half the population of the planet. So it's not just, oh, here, take these vaccines. Oh, so sorry, you can't get pregnant anymore. It's not just infertility. Oh, take some more booster shots. Oh, it's so sorry, you keeled over and died. It's like, oh, if you eat rice, you're destroying the planet. You should be guilty. How dare you? Little Miss Thunderpants says, how dare you eat rice? Doesn't this sound so racist to attack rice? It's like they're attacking the people of India and the people of China and the people of Korea and Japan and Taiwan, come to think of it. That's where I learned to eat rice with chopsticks, by the way. That's a little skill you're going to learn fast if you don't want to starve. You're like, I'm going to eat this rice with sticks. Yep, because they don't have forks over here. I mean, that was my experience. You're going to learn. You got to eat rice with sticks, buddy, which I did. Rice everywhere. This is some kind of globalist, racist, anti-Asian agenda here to guilt trip Asians into thinking that rice is bad. What's better than rice then, huh? What? Fake chicken McNugget, cancer tumor nuggets? What's better than rice? Your artificial meat crap, your cultured tumor nugget system? What do they think is better than rice? What do they want you to eat? Oh, crickets. That's right. Oh, crickets. That's good for the planet. Crickets don't emit CO2. Yeah, they're gross and nasty and have exoskeletons full of chitin. But if you could choose between rice and crickets, how about cricket-dusted rice? How about that? That's going to be the new meal from the globalists. Cricket-fried rice. How about that? Technocracy.news wrote about this, and they quoted the FAO, which is a Food and Agriculture Organization, part of the UN, says that, quote, rice is one of the most important staple foods in the world. Over 50% of the world population depends on rice. See, I wasn't making that up. I told you. For about 80% of its food requirements. Wow. About 95% of the global output of rice is produced and consumed in developing countries. So an attack on rice is an attack on third world nations. Developing nations. That's what this is. It's an attack on developing nations. Is anyone surprised? You know, when they run the depopulation vaccines in Africa, and the chemtrails affecting third world nations, you know, is anyone surprised that they want to attack the food supply that feeds the developing world? Folks, Look, every day more and more proof comes out that this whole globalist agenda, which the media is part of here, obviously, is all about global extermination and annihilation of the human race. Today, the target's rice. Tomorrow, it's going to be corn or something. They'll just come up with, corn! Oh, corn produces methane. It's corn is bad for the world. So bad. Or maybe not. Maybe they'll say corn's the only thing you're allowed to eat. Corn and Soylent Green, you know? Little Soylent Green / corn tortillas. Little GMO plates for you right there with your cricket toppings. But no rice for you. Suddenly rice is bad. It's beyond belief. I mean, they can target anything at any time on any given day and say, oh, it's bad. Combustion engines are bad. Eating rice is bad. You're like, dang, I was going to drive my truck to the Chinese buffet. So much for that. You know what they're really saying in all this, of course, is that they're saying that humans are bad. They're basically saying if you grow crops, you're bad. If you farm, you're bad. Look at the Netherlands shutting down thousands of farms there. Oh, if you have ranch animals, you're bad. How dare you grow crops? How dare you grow rice? See, even those of you who are vegans and vegetarians, you thought you were going to kind of skate all this stuff. You thought, the ranch animal's getting closed down. It doesn't affect me. I'm just eating rice. And now it's like, rice is bad. Welcome to the club. You're part of the guilt-tripped, you know, destroy the planet club now for having your sticky rice pot sticker things. What is that called? Sticky rice? Moon cake rice, or the moon festival sticky rice. Yeah, stuff wrapped in, wrapped in banana leaves or something. I forgot. I had some of that when I lived in Taiwan. I was like, what is this stuff? It's sticky rice, man. Sticky rice. Sure enough, it's sticky. They wrap it in a leaf of some kind. I think actually that was the Dragon Boat Festival rice. Yeah, I think they serve a lot of that on the Dragon Boat Festival day, which is awesome. And then there's the moon festival. There's a thing I love about Asian cultures. They have a lot of excuses to just, you know, have fun and socialize and just eat delicious cakes and whatever. It's like every couple of weeks, there's some other festival or, you know, holiday. And then they got holidays based on the way words sound. Like the word for eight, the number eight is just ba. And if you do that together, like two eights side by side, that's papa, which is a universal global word for, you know, father or dad. Even in Chinese culture, papa means father. So papa being 8/8, they make it a holiday of August 8th. I'm not even kidding. Look it up. August 8th is Father's Day in Chinese cultures because it's pronounced papa. I'm not kidding. Why would I make that up? I live that. You know, the eight-sided herb, the star anise herb that is anti-plague, you know, it's called ba jiao. Ba means eight. It's the same ba. Except ba jiao means what? Eight arms, I think, is what that means. Because it's like an eight-sided star anise herb. Ba jiao. But, you know, getting back on track here, the globalists, they can target one thing after another. They can target carbon dioxide, you know, they can target cows and cow farts, and they can target rice. And ultimately, folks, they're targeting you. You are the carbon that they're trying to eliminate. Just understand that, and then everything else will become clear. You are the carbon they want to reduce. That's actually a meme on technocracy.news as well. You are the carbon. Their war on carbon is a war on you. They will not be satisfied until you and everybody like you are all snuffed out. That's what the globalists want. Their convenient target today is just rice. I wonder how the gluten-free climate change people are going to eat now. It's probably make their heads explode. They're like, on one hand, I want to save the climate and eat plant-based foods. On the other hand, the gluten-free rice patties turns out are damaging the planet, according to the UN. What am I going to do? Bzz, psh, smoke coming out of their ears. Oh my God. How dare you? You know, speaking of Chinese medicine herbs like ba jiao, there's also goji berries. Did you know goji berries are used in Chinese medicine? That's actually the first place I ever saw goji berries was in Chinese medicine. And it turns out there's an interesting story about this. Most goji berries come from China. And where they're grown in China, whether they're in the highlands or the lowlands, really strongly affects how clean or dirty they are. There was an interesting story that came out of the South China Morning Post, scmp.com. Here it is. Hong Kong consumer watchdog warns of heavy metals and pesticides in dried goji berries. Says that two samples exceed the European limit for lead. Can you believe that? Consumer Council urges industry to reduce pesticide use and pest control methods. Goji berries are known as a superfood and used in traditional Chinese medicine. And it goes on, it says 27 samples of dried goji berries tested by the Hong Kong Consumer Watchdog were found to contain heavy metals with lead concentrations close to the local limit detected in two batches. And it said that pesticides were found in 70% of the samples. So, you know, this is where you're really glad to find out that, of course, we test everything that we sell for lead and also mercury and arsenic and cadmium and glyphosate and what else? Microbiology and coming soon, dioxins as well. So I just want to share with you, we've tested, you know, hundreds of samples of goji berries, probably just in the last couple of years, because we sell goji berries, certified organic goji berries. And some of those goji berries come from the Tibetan regions, the high altitude regions, which are technically China, but they're not grown in the lowlands where the pollution tends to concentrate in the dirty rivers, you know. If you get goji berries, you want them grown in the highlands as much as possible, and you got to have them tested. So we do the testing, but I want to tell you, we've actually never seen high lead in goji berries. So maybe that's just because we only source organic. Maybe it's just, you know, our sources are doing a much better job, but I don't recall a single time we've ever had to reject a batch of goji berries because of lead. We've rejected batches of turmeric like crazy for lead and all kinds of spices. Like, you want to find lead, just start buying spices, man. They're loaded with lead. Crazy levels. And ginger. A lot of ginger is high lead as well. Moringa. Got a lot of lead in moringa products. It's crazy. But I've not seen lead in goji berries, so this story was kind of interesting. But it doesn't say what the European limit for lead actually is. Like, how many parts per million is allowed in goji berries in the European Union? You could actually look that up. I don't recall the number because the EU has different numbers for every kind of food. And then they keep changing the numbers around. But if you actually find that PDF of the EU food limits, which we have at the lab, by the way, it'll list like, grains. Here's a limit for grains, but not all grains. There's certain kinds of grains and corn and wheat and the other limits for legumes. They have very high limits for legumes, by the way, for whatever reason. Then they'll have limits for like fresh vegetables, celery, cilantro, carrots, and then different limits for root vegetables like, well, carrots, beets, you know, garlic, things like that. And then totally different limits for meat and milk. So there's no way you can memorize that whole thing. You got to actually reference the sheet because it's just too much to memorize. But the EU limits are very strict. So if goji berries are close to the EU limits, they may not be really even that high compared to what's allowed in the U.S. because the FDA has no limits on lead. And the USDA has no limits on lead. Not officially. I mean, there's some kind of a working limit of like 10 parts per million of all combined heavy metals in a food. It's just kind of, it's a rule of thumb. It's not really enforced, and lead can be highly damaging at far lower concentrations than that, by the way. So anyway, just another reminder to make sure you get your food and your supplements from trusted sources, and definitely choose organic whenever you can. Although the USDA organic program doesn't test for lead either, you know, hence the need to do additional testing. Now, the COVID blog has a new article that's pretty cool. Missouri HB 1169 would force meat and food producers to label products that utilize mRNA vaccines in animals, while lobbyists and billionaires fight to stop the bill from becoming law. So you can You can go through that article at thecovidblog.com, which is a really solid site. And everything's well documented in articles there. But this just shows you how industry, the same kind of industry that was always pushing GMOs and pesticides, now they're pushing for mRNA vaccines in animals. And remember how the beef industry really pushed back, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, and they said, oh, there's no mRNA injections that are approved for use in cows as of this particular moment. Remember that? They didn't say there won't be. They didn't say that they'll reject them. They just said, oh, right this moment, there's none. We just want to clarify, right? Well, 2 weeks later, there could be, you know? And the beef industry is not going to say that, we refuse to embrace mRNA vaccine. No, they're not going to say that at all. They're going to use them because the USDA is going to push them. And so it's a legit question. How much of our meat is already injected with mRNA? Apparently in pork, it's being done already. I'll give you a headline on that here shortly. But it's expanding into chickens. It's goats, lamb, sheep, whatever, cows, everything you can think of. If you eat it, if it's meat, it's probably going to have mRNA in it at some point coming up pretty soon. Unless it's, organic. And it's still not clear to me, by the way, are mRNA vaccines allowed in organic meat products? I honestly don't know the answer to that. I would hope the answer is no, but that might be wrong. It might be perfectly allowed in organic meat products. We need to figure out an answer to that. If you know, post it in the comments below this. I'll try to ask some folks I know and see if we can get an answer. But here's a story on greatgameindia.com, which is a great website that's also banned by the establishment. Are you eating pork injected with Merck's mRNA livestock vaccine? Asks the article. According to information on Merck's animal health website, Merck's mRNA livestock vaccine may have been used in the pork you're eating. For the last couple of years, writes the author here, again, greatgameindia.com, I've been recommending not eating pork due to its high linoleic acid content, but there's an even bigger reason to avoid it now. Since 2018, pork producers have been using customizable mRNA-based vaccines on their herds, and this has slipped completely under the radar. Anyway, you can go on and read that there. But did you know that I don't eat pork? But I don't eat pork for a different reason. It's not the kosher reason either. It's not because I'm not a person of Jewish faith. That's not my religion. That's not why I don't eat pork. I don't eat pork because pigs are very intelligent animals. They're way smarter than cows, and of course, cows are smarter than chickens. So, by far, on the hierarchy of intelligence, pigs are, they have the intelligence of a dog. And the way pigs are mistreated across the world in these animal factories, I can't stomach it. It's sick. Now, you could argue, yes, the way cows are mistreated as well, but that's why I get my cow meat from people I know who butcher a cow that they raised that had free range and its life was good until the moment it was like, surprise, you're dead. But that cow didn't go through a, confined animal factory operation, CAFOs. So, on the moral spectrum here, I am making conscious decisions. And I don't want to eat pork because pigs are very, very intelligent. I don't even shoot wild hogs, as you probably know if you've listened to me for some period of time. I say hello to them. I do. I say hello to the wild hogs. And I've never had a problem. I told that story. I was out with my AR-15, thought I heard some hogs fighting something. I thought maybe a dog was getting injured or some animal might be getting injured. So I marched out there at night with my loaded AR-15, with my light on it and everything, and chasing the sound down. And this large male wild hog just runs out of the grass about 10 feet away from me on the driveway. And he's like looking at me, and I'm looking at this hog, and I got my AR-15 right there with my light shining on it. And I'm just looking at it. It's standing still. And I think, what did I say? I think I said, hello, piggy, or something like that. And he just turns around and he grunts and it just runs off into the brush. Right. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot this creature. Why would I? He's not messing with me. He's not eating my chickens, you know. But I say hello to the wild hogs because they're most of the time they're funny. They're comedy clowns. The little baby hogs, when you run across a group of 40 or 50 hogs and they're like, and they're just running around and they're panicking just because you walked up on them. It's so funny. They're like little piggy clowns, man. But not a threat to me at all. Then again, I do walk around armed all the time. So if something were to go wrong, I could pop off a few rounds and defend myself. But I've never had a problem. Anyway, the point is I'm not eating pork no matter what. Because I don't like the way these pigs are treated. So, but here's another reason to not eat pork. Plus, frankly, in my point of view, pork tastes like the way poop smells. So, do you ever notice that? You ever eat a piece of pork? You're like, it's pretty much like poop. Like, what is this? Is it pork or is it poop? Pork chops, poop chops. I think it's poop chops. Maybe it's pork grown in poop, like biosludge swine factories or something. I don't know. It just tastes like poop. No, thank you. Not interested. If McDonald's actually had pork in their McRib sandwich, it should be called the McPoop. But the point is, more and more, you're going to have to source food locally in any way you can. And I'm also on the same path, by the way. Oh, I'm reminding myself I have to plant a bunch of stuff, by the way. I've got to plant some potatoes, but I'm way behind on that. If you're behind, don't worry. I'm behind too. Doing my best to catch up. But we're not going to be able to trust centralized food supply systems at all. I mean, how can you even trust them now? You don't know where that meat came from. You don't know where those veggies came from. And how come these organic vegetables in the grocery store look like they ran over them with a forklift in the parking lot before they put them on the shelf? It's like, did you just stomp on these on purpose? My God. I mean, I've had vegetables that looked better after my goats savaged them. All right, but now switching gears, from mining.com, Germany retires nuclear plants in hopes of greener pastures. This is a hilarious headline. At 10 p.m. on Saturday, the Isar 2 nuclear plant near Munich will begin winding down its power generation in steps of 10 megawatts per minute. It'll drop to 30% capacity, and then these two other plants, they're going to be closing down. By midnight, all three will be offline, ending Germany's six-decade reliance on nuclear energy. So, Germany, in the middle of an energy crisis, because, of course, Nord Stream got all blown up, thanks to the United States Navy and the Biden regime and the CIA and the State Department, everybody's involved. Germany has a power shortage that is critical, and they don't want to burn coal, right? How dare you? And now they're saying, we don't want nuclear either. So shutting all those down. Shouldn't they be cranking up nuclear power plants right now if they don't have Nord Stream? Given that Germany's industries are suffering and electricity prices are through the roof and joblessness is on the rise and layoffs and, you know, because industry is shutting down and Germany can't even manufacture weapons and munitions to defend itself in a war against Russia. And we've seen those admissions. Neither can the UK, by the way. Shouldn't Germany have some source of energy, or they're just going to find a reason that they don't like everything? Oh, we don't like coal. It's dirty. Oh, but not really, but they're just going to say it is. Okay. No more natural gas. The Americans blew it up. Oh, what great allies. We should support them. Okay. We don't want nuclear because it's scary or something. Okay, what's next? We're just going to have a bunch of solar and wind. Really, in Germany? You know what your latitude is up there in Germany? How north you are from the equator? Turns out sunlight isn't very intense there for a lot of the year. Did you know that? You would think the German policymakers would know where Germany is on a map, but maybe they don't. Or maybe they don't understand what happens, you know, with a spherical shaped planet and an axial tilt of the planet and how the sun's rays are less intense when you're not close to the equator, you know, things like that. I don't know. Have the German bureaucrats become as dumb as the American bureaucrats? Probably. Maybe dumber. I don't know. Or what about the Canadian bureaucrats? Are they the dumbest of all? I'm not sure. It's a competition. No, it's got to be the the UK. It's got to be the Brits. The Brit bureaucrats have to take the prize for the dumbest bureaucrats on the planet. I'm pretty sure. But the Germans are in that race. Don't get me wrong. The German bureaucrats, not the German people. The people are fed up with the bureaucrats. That's true everywhere. But the German bureaucrats are definitely in the competition. So they're just going to shut down every energy source. Like, if you think you're going to run something, no, we're going to run diesel generators. No diesel for you. We're going to have wind farms. Well, turns out the wind doesn't always blow when you need power. Okay, we're going to have solar farms. Well, the sun doesn't shine that much in a lot of parts of Germany. And then you have to source these solar panels using rare earth minerals from China and dirty mines. And that's not really sustainable either. I guess ultimately they're just going to have to put the German people in these large human-sized hamster wheels that have power generators on them and just say, run! Run, good German citizen! Run and generate electricity. And that's it. That's the only power they're going to get because they're not allowed to use anything else. I mean, it's Germany. Once tried to conquer the world, now they just want to commit suicide. Okay, well, they're doing a good job at that. Well, there was a horrible accident in New York City, by the way. One person was killed when a parking garage collapsed. And notable about this is the fact that the parking garage did not suffer an earthquake or, a demolition, implosion or anything. It collapsed because people parked cars on the parking garage. It collapsed because people used it, basically. So it turns out that the construction of this parking garage was pretty shoddy. According to the New York Post, says that inspectors found concrete, quote, slab cracks in the first floor ceiling, missing concrete covering steel beams, and defective concrete with exposed rear cracks. I thought that was just plumbers with exposed rear cracks, but apparently that's also parking garages. According to the document, and another open violation issued in 2009 said there was a loose piece of concrete in danger of falling was found in multiple areas throughout the building and that the owners failed to fix rotten, defective fire stairs. Okay. So basically it was shoddy construction in New York City and regulators didn't force anybody to fix it, which is exactly what happens in third world countries. America, especially in these blue cities, is becoming more and more like a third world country every day. More things keep failing, more things keep falling down. You don't have police in blue cities that can even respond to anything. Just looting mobs like we showed you yesterday. Just ransacking gas stations and convenience stores. And parking garages collapsing. We've had bridges collapse across America. A lot of these cities aren't even maintaining the bridges. You know what their maintenance plan is, actually? Wait till it collapses and then build a new one. That's their maintenance plan. That's going to get a lot of people killed, unfortunately, because these bridges, if you don't maintain them, well, there's corrosion. There are stress fractures. Bridges, you don't just build them once and walk away. You gotta look at them. You gotta make sure stuff is still functioning. They're not really doing that, at least not sufficiently in these cities. So, I don't know about you, but I don't like parking garages. Do you? Don't you feel like there's a lot of mass over your head? If you're in a parking garage, you're driving around, do you realize the tonnage of concrete that's over you, like pancaked above you with cars parked there? And don't you wonder now that we're moving into the woke era of engineering school and universities, everybody's got to be woke. And woke people are never required to do math, by the way, because, you can't force them to get the right answer. That would be racist and it would be too white or something. That's what they say, that math is racist because all the mathematicians are white. That's what they say. So these woke engineering companies that are engineering bridges and buildings and parking garages and high rises, they're just hiring a bunch of woke idiots who are just going to say, we think it's good, And we didn't really do the stress test math or anything because that's racist. We just said that we feel good about this one. We feel good about, the diameter of the pillar that we're drilling into the ground. We think 30 inches is good. We just feel good about 30 inches, you know? Oh, and what depth did you drill down to? Well, you know, we feel good about 20 feet. We just thought 30 inches and 20 feet. It's a good balance. Or you could go 30 inches and 30 feet if you want. When in reality, maybe the soils in that area demand like 80 feet depth and a 42-inch pillar, you know, with a lot more rebar in it. But these woke idiots are like, it's good. We feel like it's all good because they want to self-identify in their delusional world. It's like, this building is held up by unicorns, you know, and fairies and leprechauns. There's leprechaun-reinforced rebar in this building. Don't worry, you can park anything you want on it. It's all good. Seriously, I am not going to get on any kind of infrastructure built by woke idiots or engineered, I should say engineered by the woke idiots, because the builders are not woke. It's the engineers that are the idiots. The builders just follow the instructions that the engineers give them, right? So the engineers do the math, or they're supposed to. And if they're all woke, then we're screwed, man. The country's just going to start collapsing. Literally, as we saw with the parking garage. Another story for you. According to Breitbart, 2/3 of Americans say their wages lag behind inflation. So this was based on a survey, an All-America Economic Survey. It said that Americans disapprove of Biden's handling of the economy by a 62% to 34% margin. What do you mean Biden's handling of the economy? Biden's not handling anything. But do you notice that no matter how much of an increase you get in wages, it seems that it's not keeping up with the increased prices you have to pay at the grocery store or for, you know, consumer goods, this and that. According to the survey, only 5% said that their income is rising faster than consumer prices. 67% said they're falling behind. Well, of course, that's only going to get worse, because food inflation is worsening like crazy. I was talking to the owner of a restaurant the other day, and I asked him. I noticed his menu prices had gone up again. And I said, hey, how's the supply chain looking on this? What's going on? And he's like, it's crazy. Everything keeps going up. Almost every 2 weeks, there's price increases across the board. And there are also supply chain problems. He said, one day, he was told by the company, the distributor that distributes to the restaurants, you know, that their software is down. And he had to run around to grocery stores buying up all the supplies for his restaurant. Can you imagine that? Shopping at your local grocery store at massive commercial quantities to try to be able to, you know, make soup at your restaurant. Supply chain's breaking down. Prices are going insane. The dollar's losing value. This is only going to get worse, by the way, as you well know. You know, one more reason to find ways to save your assets now while you can. And the dollar is losing its global dominance, by the way. You're well aware of that. But now even the mainstream media is starting to cover this more and more. I've noticed that this phase the media is moving into. Like, here's a story from MarketWatch.com. Big question with dollar under fire from rival countries and currencies. What happens to markets if the greenback loses its dominance? This was, again, MarketWatch.com. They did edit the article, so I don't know what they changed. But they say that combined with efforts in Beijing to ease dependence on the buck, efforts have helped reinvigorate speculation that the greenback's dominance over international trade may be moving towards its twilight. Now, this article says, though, that they don't think the dollar is going to collapse or anything, but that more people are talking about it, including the Wall Street Journal, they say. The Wall Street Journal publishing research reports forecasting more competition for the dollar in trade and global reserves alongside assessments about where the dollar is heading. So even in the mainstream media, they're now admitting that the dollar won't be the dominant global reserve currency, that it might be side by side with other currencies like the Chinese yuan or maybe the ruble from Russia or the rupee or the baht. I don't know what how about the real, huh? Could be any kind of currency, but obviously it's going to be probably dominated by China, India, Russia, and Brazil, I would imagine. So mainstream media is starting to get a sense of this, and they're beginning to ask the question, what might happen? Let me tell you what would happen The value of your currency domestically will collapse when globally the dollar gets rejected, because you'll have all these dollars flooding back into the United States, and you'll have trading partners demanding payment in things other than dollars, you know, like China. What if they say, we're not going to sell you all the stuff that's at Walmart for dollars anymore because we don't want dollars? What if they tell trading partners, you have to go out and buy, let's say, you know, rupees or yuan first, and then buy our stuff with yuan? So that would cause a mad rush into demand for the yuan, and the dollar would be dumped everywhere. And the question is, well, who's going to buy up all those dollars? Probably the Fed would try to do that, right? To monetize the downward spiral of the currency into oblivion. Meanwhile, your products are going to get, or the things that you need to buy are going to get 10 times more expensive. Not just the food, but the products from, you know, other countries. So could we see 1,000% increase in the price of consumer goods if China demands that? Yeah, absolutely we could. 1,000% might only be the starting point. You might find yourself paying $20 for a fly swatter, like a little cheap plastic one too that falls apart after you hit a couple of flies with it. Oh, this made in China crap. Look at this. Fly swatter doesn't even work. That's when people are going to make their own fly swatters with a piece of leather and a stick, you know? That's a fly swatter that lasts, by the way. You don't need a cheap plastic fly swatter. So I'm always shocked how people say, oh, the dollar's not going anywhere. There's no alternative to the dollar. People can't use anything else. Are you reading the news? Every day there's another announcement. Saudi Arabia selling oil to China in the yuan. Turkey buying and selling in other currencies. India trading with, you know, China. India trading with Iran. Who knows? Russia trading with Brazil, clearing transactions and things other than dollars. I mean, it's every day. How can anybody not even have any awareness that that's happening? They would just have to be, I don't know, deliberately oblivious or something. Every day, there are alternatives to dollar transactions that are being set up all over the world. And who wants the dollar anymore? I mean, what rational country wants the dollar? It's like, oh yeah, please let me become dependent on a tyrannical globalist regime run by lunatics and Alzheimer's patients that prints endless amounts of money, trillions of dollars, destroying the value of the dollars that we hold. Yeah, give me more of that. That sounds awesome. Like, which country is saying that? Nobody's saying that. The only countries still using the dollar are just coerced into it. You know, like Taiwan, you know? Taiwan's told, like, you use the dollar or we won't protect you in the war against China. So, you know, Taiwan's like, okay, we'll use a dollar. Okay. But no one voluntarily wants the dollar anymore. Not on the global stage, not even domestically. I mean, try this experiment. If you have a little bit of silver, by the way, and you need to buy something from somebody, offer to pay them in silver. Go to the farmer's market. I dare you, walk around the farmer's market and ask if you can buy stuff with silver. People are going to say, yes, 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 please, awesome. Give you a discount if it's silver. So walk around and spend silver. It's better than dollars. It has more value. I mean, everybody wants something real. They don't want dollars anymore. It's happening already. You're seeing it. I mean, right now, if I were at a farmer's market and selling whatever, cupcakes, Health Ranger cupcakes, yeah, like oatmeal raisin cupcakes, how about that? If I were there and someone walked up to me and like, I'll give you silver for your cupcakes. Okay, how many do you want? Or I would take crypto over dollars. I would take crypto. I would take ammunition over dollars. The dollar is the last thing that any informed person really wants right now, unless you just, obviously you need a certain amount to pay bills and things like that, meet payroll. You know, your grocery store is probably not going to take ammunition, so you're going to need dollars for that. But in terms of just like small local exchanges, people don't want dollars. They want other real things, things that hold value. Try it. Go out this weekend and try that yourself. You'll see. People even want seeds as a form of money. Oh, which reminds me, I've neglected to plug our seed sponsor, ArkSeedKits.com. A-R-K. ArkSeedKits.com. They were backlogged. They had like a two-week shipping delay before. I think that's reduced now. I don't know the exact wait time, but if you want some garden seeds, heirloom, organic seeds, ArkSeedKits.com, and you can use discount code Ranger. I think you get free shipping, or actually, I'm not sure what you get on certain products, but try it there. See what you get. They've got specials, too, for massive seed kits that you can share with four or five families or neighbors. So check it out, ArkSeedKits.com. And look, seeds are going to be a barter item. No doubt in my mind. I would rather have a bunch of seeds than a bunch of green currency dollars sitting around when it hits the fan. I'd rather have ammo. I'd rather have silver. I'd rather have, you know, iodine. I'd rather have backup medicine. The stuff that has value is the real stuff, not the currency. Speaking of real stuff, and by the way, I guess I'll wrap up this podcast here for today, but healthrangerstore.com, it's not just that you support us, it's that you can get real stuff. Like, did you know we're launching macadamia nuts now? I think they're live on the website. Certified organic, lab-tested mac nuts that are just, they're beautiful and they're delicious. I was chowing down on them like last night. And they're beautiful. They're not mac nut pieces or halves or chunks or powder. These are, at least the ones that I had, are fully intact, beautiful, wholly formed macadamia nuts, certified organic. Crazy delicious. It's like butter. I'm like, man, these are heaven. And every once in a while you get one that tastes sweeter too. It's like this natural sweetness in the mac nuts. It's amazing. We've got macadamia nuts. We've got cashews. We've got almonds and a bunch of other stuff. We've got the freeze-dried certified organic fruits and vegetables. And we've got the Ranger buckets. I'm actually getting hungry talking about this. We've got the mini buckets and the mega buckets and all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is real stuff. This is what's going to get us through these crazy times that are accelerating by the day. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com. We appreciate your support. We are shipping real products every single day, and people absolutely love it. And we do all the lab testing. You know all about that. I don't have to repeat it, but you're going to get the cleanest food in the world, the cleanest supplements, the most rigorously tested products anywhere in the world. It's from us, healthrangerstore.com. And we're about to roll out, by the way, buckets of organic lab-tested wheat berries for long-term storage, for making bread. And it'd be a good idea to stock up on some of that. And, I wonder what rice products we have available right now. I don't even know, but with the globalists trying to attack rice now, rice might become contraband. Can you imagine? I don't know what to say. We live in such an insane world run by anti-human, genocidal globalists. They're not afraid to say anything now. They could just come out and say, we're going to ban all food. We're just going to ban humans, ban all new babies. No babies allowed, right? I mean, would you be surprised? No. We're going to ban electricity. We're going to ban, combustion engines. We're going to ban air, ban sunlight. You have to pay tax on the sun. I mean, nothing would surprise me at this point, because it's more insane by the day. So anyway, thank you for your support, and I'll be back in studio tomorrow, which is always an interesting trade-off, because you notice I actually have a better time doing audio only. I do a little more comedy and satire audio only, and the video in the studio tends to be more serious. I don't know why that is, but I'll be back in studio tomorrow with some guests, and it's going to be some hard-hitting news. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, continue to get prepared. You'll be glad that you did. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And God bless America. We'll talk to you tomorrow. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.